Ka-Ka and his damn plans to unite all the beauties.
Lord Ka. Lord Ka.
Yeah, whatever. Lord Ka sent word out, how I have no fucking idea, to all you freaks in the Baron's Beauty Zoo about this place.
Bud wasn't in the zoo.
Excuse me. All the freaks in the zoo combined with all the beauty turds working the grunt detail on the elevator wheel with us dumbass norms who were stupid enough to get Willy Boy all pissed off. I was a good sick man for a long damn time for my Baron, the dried up old skank. I make one mistake and he drops me. Just cause I missed that old bastard's blade hidden in his walking stick. I bet one eye put his pal up to hiding the shiv. Yeah, I miss one old fart's blade. Next thing you know, I'm stuck in the basement, turning the elevator wheel with guys like you.
Bud had been at the wheel for many days. Weeks.
What'd you do during your stint?
Nothing. Bud did nothing.
Wrong. Bud was born with oozing hands and a strong back. Face it, all you stickies were fucked from birth. But you'd learn to accept it, right? Until you muty bastards got the word Kai was coming to save your sorry asses, freeing you from the fields and the wheels and the Baron's muty zoo. Kai might have pulled it off, too. Except the cannies and the scabbies and all you stickies got a serious murder lust and started killing one another off.
Lord Ka couldn't contain us all. The blood fever came. We were unable to stop ourselves.
Good thing. We wouldn't be going north. Ka had the right idea. But he's too weird to pull it off. Beauties always have needed a strong hand.
Like yours, Norm.
Yeah, like mine. We'll go to Winston, bud. We'll start over there, me and you both. Hell, guys like us, we're headed for the promised land.
Norm stumbled into a walk. The sticky didn't answer as it continued concentrating on putting one foot in front of the other. Norm was allowed to straggle along under his own steam now. Despite what some said, muties did possess rudimentary emotions, and Bud was both hurt and angered by his companion's caustic comments about Lord Ka. The mutant could have broken the smaller human into pieces if it had chosen to. Instead, Bud had accepted the responsibility of companionship.
What happened to Lord Ka, anyway?
Bud doesn't know. Lord Ka... was there. Then he wasn't. He disappeared.
Chilled, most likely. Yeah, he's probably back there in Willyville under a ton of burned brick and dead muties.
Bud doesn't agree. Ka lives.
Yeah, Bud can kiss my ass. I don't give a shit what you think.
Then leave me.
You wish. Of course, we both know that's the problem here. The fact is this. You stickies couldn't find your dicks with both your hands in a stiff wind.
Norm is helping, Bud.
I guess so. Somebody has to. Navigation isn't your strong suit. And I've heard about this sticky hive where we're going. Some of the other sec men I work with back at Willie's before the veil got toasted had pulled duty time at the human outpost near our new home. Beauties have an entire city to themselves, and the norms live farther out from it, safe and snug in their own pocket of protection. Yeah, I guess we're in this together, Beauty. Like it or not.
Why?
Like I told you, I'm Beauty now. I'm Norm, a half-melted Beauty. Way I look. Your kind's the only ones left in the Deathlands that can accept me without gagging.
You are a strange Norm, Lester.
For the last time, don't call me that. Call me Norm. Lester's dead. Buried back in Willyville. If we make it to where I'm planning, I've got some plans, bud. Big plans. Your Lord Ka He's a friggin' piker compared to what I'm planning to take over and rebuild. All you stickies need to take over your lives is some guidance. And me and you, we're gonna give them all the lessons they need.
Norm?
What?
Are we there yet?
Damn it. Well, at least we're here.
Ryan Cotter thumped the control board of the fantastic mix of ancient chariot and powerful motorized carriage, but the vehicle's engines were nearly drained. He glanced back at his companions.
Okay, let's get inside the redoubt. I'm ready to get out of this hellhole.
Indeed.
Ryan Cotter, J.B. Dix, Jack, Dean, Doc Tanner, Mildred Wyeth, and Christy Roth had arrived at the redoubt after an arduous journey across barren wasteland. As the group made their way to the huge vanadium doors, J.B. took what he hoped was one last look at that stretch of California and pulled down the brim of his battered fedora to shield his eyes from the sun.
Ryan, I don't think we were followed. If anyone was on our trail, they're too far back to try anything now. Flat as it is around here, we would have seen them if they got too close.
Let's keep it that way.
By his very carriage and attitude, it was obvious the lean man with the scarred visage and eye patch was the leader of the group. Ryan had taken the controls of the vehicle and kept them on their course for the duration of the journey back to the redoubt, trusting his comrades to keep a watch on their potential pursuers. Miles away, back along the path they had come, was the city of Aten, a construct of ancient Egypt standing hale and hearty on North American soil. Aten was where the pharaoh Akhenaten had once reigned, until a final fatal run-in with Christy Roth, Ryan's lover. A hypnotic mix of man and mutation, the pharaoh Ryan and his friends knew as Hell Eyes ruled his complacent followers by a mixture of awe and fear. Ryan Cotter was in an extremely bad mood. He could still taste the grit between his lips from his desert flight. The air was hot, like breathing vapors from the back of an overheated war wag. When they had first arrived here, guesses as to their location had included the Sahara and the Gobi, and that's still what it looked and felt like. Ryan looked at his son and the silent Jack.
We can't leave this contraption here. Dean and Jack, maybe you can take the chariot out back of the dome. If anybody does come looking, no need to advertise this is where we stopped.
Right, Dad.
Dean nodded to Jack, a whipcord lean, ruby-eyed albino teenager, who nodded his agreement as well. Ryan entertained a fleeting desire to burn the sturdy little vehicle, but the smoke plume would be visible for miles. JB glanced at Ryan.
We could always bury the damn thing.
You feel like trying to dig in this bastard heat?
Hell no.
Doc, Christy, and Mildred walked back to the group to see what was keeping the others. Mildred cocked her head at Ryan.
What are you two talking about?
The way the wind tends to kick up out here. Our tracks won't be around for long, I hope. But leaving this thing here out front is a red flag in a bull's pasture.
The skeletal Doc Tanner, in the faded frock coat, who had been hovering around the edges of the conversation, listening intently, one hand stroking his narrow chin and the other working a black sword stick through his fingers like a baton, raised a finger to catch Ryan's attention.
Pardon me, my dear Ryan, but might I make a suggestion?
What's on your mind, Doc?
Might I suggest we take yon chariot into the redoubt with us? While this installation is much smaller than the usual military installations we're used to taking refuge in, I think we can spare the room this once.
Ryan and JB exchanged embarrassed glances. Their combined years of training and tactics had been dulled enough by near exhaustion so that they completely overlooked the obvious. The dome's portal was plenty wide enough to pull the vehicle inside once the door was fully open.
Damn straight, Doc. Good thinking.
Naturally. I am a college graduate.
Okay, boys. Dean, Jack, put your shoulders to it. JB, get the doors open. Let's move.
JB trotted to the vanadium doors and tapped in the code on the ancient keypad. As the massive doors began to open, Jack and Dean shoved the chariot, guiding it forward till its wheels left the California dirt for the rock-hard flooring inside. The others followed, kicking at the tracks made by the wheels to make them less obvious. Once everyone was inside, JB keyed the doors to close. The travelers went along the passageway leading down. Nothing had changed. The passageway leading down appeared the same as they had left it, the concrete floor sprinkled with a light smattering of sand from outside.
Looks clear. Let's do it. Triple red until I give the word.
Ryan brought up the rear, lingering behind the others. Christy Roth hung back too, waiting for him. Her keen eyes searched his face, looking for some sort of outward manifestation to reflect the feelings she knew were churning inside his guts about what had happened to them in Aten. She reflected that JB had summed up the experience best when he remarked that the whole thing was like being trapped in one long wet dream with no pleasurable climax at the end, just a feeling of being dirty and used. The only one of the group to escape the sexual sadism of the place had been Dean. Perhaps sensing some of the debauchery to come in their destination, Ryan had taken up a man named Danielson on his offer of sanctuary for the boy in the bosom of Fort Fubar, a safe haven en route to the walls of the Egyptian-styled city.
Lover?
She winced at the hesitation and embarrassment she felt. Feeling ill at ease with Ryan was a new sensation for her, and she didn't like it.
Uh-uh. Not talking here. Not yet. Let's get to the gateway first. Sooner we find out which way the stick floats, the sooner we can plan for the future.
That's what I want to talk about. Our future and how the recent past may affect it. I know what's troubling you.
You do?
Yes.
Your muti senses tell you that? Or are you coasting on feminine intuition?
Tension's been thick enough to reach out and hold. Not just affecting us, affecting everybody.
It'll pass. Until we know whether or not this bastard Mattrans unit is going to work this time, we're all going to be in a pissy mood.
I'm not talking about the Mattrans unit, and you know it.
You weren't responsible for what happened back there.
Ryan tried to step around her, but Christy caught his arm, her strong fingers biting into it.
You can say that, but you don't know how sure you are of it. I was under Akhenaten's will. I can't deny it.
So don't. He makes a dandy one-stop scapegoat.
Damn it, Ryan, I love you. I will always love you. My love warred with Akhenaten's mental power even as he tried to make me his own.
Ryan's head throbbed, along with his injured shoulder, the blood pulsing through his veins. He wished Christy could have waited for this discussion. He wished they were all inside the gateway now, their ticket out of Aten punched. He wished he could make her understand he wasn't upset with her, nor had what she'd endured made him love her any less. Christy reached out and stroked both sides of the beard stubble on his face.
You aren't physically hurt too badly, but your spirit is wounded. Your pride bleeds because you think you were unable to protect me.
I don't think. I know I was unable to protect you.
But don't you see? You did protect me. It was your love for me and my love for you that broke his power, broke Nefren's power. It was your strength and courage that gave me the resolve to battle him. Every time he reached for me, touched me, spoke to me, I was fighting back. We defeated him together.
Ryan closed his eye, letting her words wash over him. He pulled her to him, holding her tightly. He nuzzled her hair, pulling her scent back into his lungs and being.
Living is struggling, the unavoidable thing. But love makes it worthwhile.
Yes. You taught me that.
Ryan relaxed his arms around her, and she stepped back to face him, her eyes shining with tears. She smiled through them as she reached out and took his hand. A military redoubt was a boring place. There was little in the way of decoration or personality, only a cold professionalism. These hidden installations varied in size, from the massive maze of passages and rooms located behind the stone-faced facade of Mount Rushmore, known as the Anthill, to this tiny little hive of less than a dozen or so labs, dormitories, and control rooms. No matter the size or the complexity, there was a predictable uniformity that cried to the rafters of calm, plodding, rubber-stamped government bureaucracy. Checking each of the rooms was quick and effortless, and no time was wasted in search of food or supplies, since they had examined all that the redoubt had to offer during their earlier stay. Mildred glanced glumly at the walls, then looked at JB.
Gunmetal gray. There's no place like home.
Familiar's good. I like familiar.
You would, John.
What? You want change? Hell, Millie, every time we walk into one of these redoubts, we end up jumping into another part of Deathlands. The only good thing about this mode of transportation is that it's quicker than riding in a wag, and a hell of a